You are listening to Motif Mosaic.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining in. This is Motif Mosaic, and I'm your host, Blessing. A lot of the time, I greet people by saying God is good, and they reply by saying all the time. And it's true that God is good all the time, and that is His nature. And it's one of those things that I think we see at the core, that God is love, God is right, God is just, and ultimately, God is good. And I think it's something that is apparent in all of our lives, you know, to know that you are breathing right now, you have the things that you have, the blessings that are seen, and the ones that are unseen, all because of God's goodness and His love, His benevolence, because God doesn't have to be good to any one of us. We don't deserve His goodness, but still, He shows us His goodness, He shows us His kindness. And you know, I think about the Bible. It says when God was creating things, He saw that they were good. So it means creation in itself reflects God's goodness. It reflects His nature and who He is. And even then, when God saw that Adam was alone, He saw that it was not good, and He made him a wife. So even relationships are good, to know that we have each other, to have friends, to have family, and to just have community all around you is a good thing that has been intended by God. And the Bible even says that, you know, all good gifts, they come from God. And it's one of those things that we ought to take note and look in our lives to see that God is good all the time, and to be able to just give thanks for His goodness. And it's always been a prayer of mine at times that may I be more and more aware of God's goodness, or just a prayer for others that may God's goodness be more and more evident in your lives, because it is just that shift in perspective, that may our eyes be made more open to God's goodness, to God's kindness. And just the first song that we're listening into today is Goodness of God. And you know, it talks about how God has been faithful in all of our lives, that His goodness is real and His goodness runs after us, to know that there's just so much of God's goodness. It says in the Bible that may the glory of the Lord fill the whole earth. So as we look at God's goodness and His glory, it means that the whole earth can be filled with it, that everything that we see can reflect God's goodness and God's glory. So I pray that each and every one of us may have our eyes more open, may be more attentive, may have our ears more and more open to see God's goodness, to be able to reflect and see God's goodness in the past, in the present, and to look forward to more good things that God is going to do. So this is Goodness of God.
I love You, Lord, for Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay, the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
When we look at what the Bible has at the core of its message, you know, we call it the gospel. And when you look at that word, the gospel means the good news. And a lot of the time, I think we don't really spend enough time reflecting on what the good news is. And at times it gets even in the way of us being able to share this good news with other people. But before we even get to the good news, I think for us to even appreciate the good news even more, we start with the bad news. And the bad news is that we are all fallen beings. You know, we're all beings that are not perfect as God has made us to be. But we are sinful. You know, we disobey God in one way or another. We're rebellious in our own ways. Just from the first human beings in the garden who chose to do things their own way instead of following God's way. And because of that, death entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. Suffering entered into the world because of the choices that we make. And the decisions that we make and just the high posture that we have that is turned away from God. But we see that despite all this brokenness, despite the wrath that was supposed to be upon us, the judgment that was supposed to be upon us for our sins, God made a way. And the good news is that we are sinful. We have missed the mark. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. We deserve to be far from God for eternity. But God in his love made a way, and God provided this good news that Jesus came onto this earth to live a perfect life on our behalf, and he died and suffered our punishment. And his death and resurrection means that we have been justified by putting our faith in him, knowing that all that was supposed to be paid on our account has been put into Jesus's account, and now we're made right with God, and now we can have a relationship with God to know that we do not have to deal with this sin problem on our own, but someone has dealt with it for us. To know that this burden, this weight that was upon each and every one of us has been lifted off our shoulders and has been put on Christ and his power and his resurrection, then we can rejoice in the Lord. Then we can know and understand that this is the gospel that we have. This is the good news that we have. To know that the captives have been set free, the sick have been healed, those who are dead in their sins are now being given new life. So as we rejoice in the gospel, you know, may you look at it in your own life. What is the gospel to you? What exactly is the good news that has happened in your life? What is the good that you've received from Christ? What is it that he has done for you upon the cross? Because he has done so much for each and every one of us. He has exchanged so many things that he has taken out those bad things within us, and he has put what is good now within us by his death and resurrection on the cross. So this is the next song that we're listening to. This is the gospel by Elevation Rhythm. It's a joyful song as we celebrate what Christ has done for us, as we celebrate his life, his resurrection, and his returning. May this be a prompt for each and every one of us to go out in our joy, in knowing that those who do not know Christ still do not have this good news, still do not have this joy that they can have to celebrate in the Lord. So go out today. I challenge you, share your faith with someone as we reflect on what the good news is, what this gospel is, that Jesus came to die for all of our sins, to correct that which is broken within us, that we may be like him and we may have life in all of its fullness. Ooh, 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 ooh.
the beginning, you sent the earth spinning, fashioned us from the dust. And since our existence, there's only been one mission, for you to commune with us. And then came the garden, we became the fallen, sin made us lose our way. But the love that's too good to give up set a course for amazing grace. This is the gospel, this is the good news. Tell everybody how he saved you. This is the gospel, come hear the good news. Tell everybody there's a God that loves you. Oh, how he loves you. There's a God that loves you. Oh, how he loves you. There's a God that loves you. Then came the Savior, was born in a manger, raised up to ransom us. Healing the blind, raising dead back to life, all the signs of his perfect love. And there on the cross, how he paid every cost, he defeated death, hell, and grave. And on that third morning, the stone started rolling. Oh, what a beautiful day. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Tell everybody how he saved you. This is the gospel. Come hear the good news. Tell everybody there's a God that loves you. Oh, how he loves you. There's a God that loves you.
There's this really popular song from the 90s. I think it's like in the dance genre. And it's What Is Love by Hadaway. And it's a very important question, I think, in all of our lives. to reflect and think, what is love? And the line that follows up is, baby, don't hurt me. Because a lot of the time, you know, we look at what the world calls love, or we look at our own experiences with love. And unfortunately, in a lot of instances, love is often shadowed by some sort of hurt or some sort of pain that happens, whether some sort of heartbreak or betrayal of trust or anything like that. And when we look at the world around us, unfortunately, what defines love, what defines what we associate with love, is what we find in our media that we consume today. We look at love songs, we look at romance movies, we look at books and all that, and there's always some knight in shining armor or a tall man with broad shoulders who comes in to save the day, or some sort of conflict that happens. But we don't really have a basis for love that we can build upon that, because it's ever changing depending on your culture or where you're coming from. And a lot of the time, when I want to build on something that is sure and is safe, I look at scripture to see, what is love and what does scripture define to be love? And I find my answer in 1 Corinthians, when Paul writes to the church there, and he says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no account of wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And when we see, based upon this definition of what love is, to know that love is to be patient, is to be kind, is to not be envious, is to be humble, to not boast, to not be proud, not be rude, not be self-seeking or selfish, to not be easily angered, and to keep no account of wrongs. There's very specific things that we see here, and a lot of it seems to be choices that can be made, you know, to know that as I love you, I'm going to choose to be patient, I'm going to choose to be kind, I'm going to choose to not be angry, to not be boastful, to not be proud, but to show you love in its essence and all these things. And when you look at it, you know, the very core and essence is that God is love, and God is all of these things. God is patient towards each and every one of us. God is kind to us. God does not keep account of our wrongs, because he forgives us in Christ Jesus. And God does not take pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And it's the same for each and every one of us. If we're going to walk in the way of love, may it look more and more like this. And so as we segue onto the next song, Love is Kind by John Lucas, he just describes his journey as he understands what love is, because at times when we do not have the definition of love, just like him, we fall into this trap of overcomplicating things or making love what it isn't in its core and in its essence. But when he comes back to see that love is patient, love is kind, and to understand that our love comes from the love that we receive from God, then he's able to love others. For him to be able to come back to that point of loving, he realized that God all the time has been loving him, has been kind to him, has been patient to each and every one of his struggles or his phases that he's going through. And it's the same for each and every one of us. God loves you. God is patient with you. God is kind with you. And God rejoices in each and every one of us when we walk in his ways and when we walk in obedience to the truth of his word. So as you listen in, be reminded, you know, this is what love is, not what Hollywood paints it out to be. But God is love ultimately. And as we follow him and as we know more of his love, then we're able to love others.
How come love was simpler when I could barely stand? Worrying was harder when I had to hold your hand. Cause my two feet hadn't yet learned how to walk. My own voice hadn't yet come out to talk. But I knew love because I knew you. And I believe that everything you told me would come out true. Love is patient, love is kind, love delights in the truth and is all you need to find. But as I grew older, I learned to complicate things you made so simple, and I did some things I hate. And I became so afraid of making mistakes. Cause one heartfall is all that it takes to make you question the man you thought you'd be. I begin to question the bright things you see in me. Love is patient, love is kind. Love doesn't keep a record of what's behind. Heard my strength comes from your joy. Maybe that's why I felt stronger when I was a boy. Maybe I grew up too fast, or maybe I never did. But I learned to bury and chain it from you, I ran ahead. You know I wanna finish strong, but I'm having trouble at the start. And I've forgotten where to dig to unearth my beating heart. Love is patient, love is kind. Love revives the heart and transforms the mind. You say
there's a very fascinating passage in scripture. It's in Isaiah, where the prophet sees the heavenly realms and he sees angels, gives very biblically accurate descriptions of angels that are not exactly like what you see in cartoons or in paintings nowadays. But what these angels basically are doing is that they're surrounding God and they're singing a praise unto God. And this is what it says. It says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is full of his glory." And what he sees that they're praising God and they're just giving adoration unto him and just praising him and saying that God is holy. Because often in the Old Testament times and just the ancient languages, especially in the Hebrew that's written here, when a word is repeated, it's to bring emphasis to a certain point. And these angels saying holy, holy, holy unto God is to just really bring emphasis into the holiness of God's nature and who he is, that he's so far above, so separated from all things, and so much more perfect than anything we can wrap our minds around. And this is who they're giving praise unto him. And they're saying, all of the earth is full of your glory. That means that there's so many things that we can give glory to God for. You know, there's so many things that we ought not to run out of things to give glory unto the Lord for his nature, for what he has done, for what he's doing, and for what he's yet to do. We can give glory unto God. And the next song that we're looking at is Over and Over by Elevation Rhythm. It just talks about how there's this expression that we can give glory unto God, and we can do it so tirelessly. You know, we can sing holy unto God over and over and over and over again, because it is true and God does not change. And each day, I believe that we are able to see something new in God's nature and give glory to him, because there's just so many dimensions, there's so many layers to God's goodness, his love, his personality, just his character and who he is, that we can give glory unto him for. And when we look at everything around us to see that it glorifies his nature, when you study the science and you see how carefully and intricately things are put together, that gives glory unto God as he designed all these things, as he purposed all these things, that God deserves all the glory. And I pray for each and every one of us, may we never grow tired or weary of giving glory unto God, but each and every day, may we just see that over and over and over again, there may be thanksgiving and praise in our hearts as we seek to give glory unto God. So this is Over and Over by Elevation Rhythm.
Holy, that's who you are. Angels in earth sing a song for your honor, 'cause power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. No, I can never grow tired of telling you you're worthy. There's so many ways I could sing of you. Again.
In the Bible, God has many names. One God, many names. But it shows the different characteristics that God has, his nature, and just all these different things that we can attribute to God. And one of the things that we see in the Bible is that God is known as God Almighty, or rather, in the Hebrew, El Shaddai. And this is a name that God reveals himself using to Abraham in Genesis 17. And what's interesting about this is that God is revealing himself to Abraham as an almighty God before he gives this covenant. And he tells Abraham that I am the almighty God and I'm going to multiply you. And when you look at the situation that's at hand, is that Abraham is an old man. Sarah is an old woman. You know, at this point, Abraham is basically given up on having children or on having an heir, and he already had appointed someone else to take his fortunes after he dies. But God encounters him and tells him that I am going to give you children. And he even calls him outside one night and he says, look at the stars. That's how many children you're going to have. And you know, I'm just thinking, what's going on in Abraham's head in this time as God is giving him this covenant promise? But also at the same time, God is revealing this nature of who he is to him, that I am the Almighty God. I am the God who's able to do these things because I have all power. I have everything within me to do these things that I promise you to do. And so are we having that in our own minds? God gives us promises when God's word tells us certain things about who he is. Are we able to trust and know that as God has revealed himself to be almighty, he is mightier than whatever situation is before me. He's mightier than anything or any problem that may get in the way or anything that I might anticipate happening later on in the future. Because God is almighty. You know, that's his name. He is El Shaddai. He is the one who's able and can do far much more than we can ever think or ask. So continue to have that confidence in God. You may have something that you're waiting for. You may have a promise. You may have just that prayer that you're praying unto God. I believe and I trust that God is able. God is mighty. He is our El Shaddai. He is the God who does not let us down. So continue to have that faith. Continue to have that trust and that confidence in God's abilities, because he can do far much more than you can think or ask. And he is more than able to surprise you.
Your most awesome work was done
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
Usually when I meet people for the first time and we're having conversation and we're trying to connect and relate and just break the ice, there's this really awkward question for me, because a lot of the time when the fact that I fail to answer this question accurately, at times it baffles me. And it's usually in the middle of the conversation, or rather at the start, the person asks me and says, tell me about yourself. And then at that point, it's like I don't know who I am anymore. It's like Blessing has become a stranger to himself, because it's like in my head, what exactly do I like? Where do I come from? What do I do? What exactly fits into this context that this person could understand? And everything just kind of escapes me at that point in time to think, what exactly do I like, or what exactly identifies me to be who I am? And you know, when you're trying to answer that question, I think there's just a lot of things that come up in your own reflection or how you define yourself, because a lot of the time, we define ourselves according to our own abilities, according to our backgrounds, our cultures, where we're from, or what we're doing. Some people introduce themselves by their profession. Some people introduce themselves by whoever it is that they're related to. Maybe it's someone that they're married to, or a parent, or a brother. And all these things, all these tags, these labels that we put upon ourselves that we try to use to point out and identify who we are and to make ourselves stand out or be more unique or to blend in with others. And the thing about it is that at times you can get to an extreme where we base ourselves solely on what people tell us who we are or what we see that we are. But truly, these things change over time. You know, when you look at your own identity and you try to identify yourself compared to you and where you were, let's say 10 years ago, I'm sure there's at least one difference in the way that you'd identify yourself, whether it's maybe now you've got more gray hair, or maybe now your eyes aren't as good, or maybe now you have a family, or maybe now you have a different job, or you're in a different place. And you know, it's just things like that that change and nuance things. But when we look at one thing that I tend to stand on, is that our identity, first and foremost, should come from what Christ tells us that we are. Our identity should be found in Christ Jesus, because we know that he sees us best and more than, with more depth and clarity than anyone else in the world. He sees into our hearts. He sees us as his children. He sees us as those who are his own. And that's who we should have our relationship with and have our identity coming from. Because other people, you know, their opinions change, or what's cool today may not be so cool in the next 10 years. And you try to be cool with the crowd today and you try to make yourself seem what you're not, but later on we see that these things change. So we ought to find our identity in what Christ says about us more than what other people say about us, because at times there will be times where people's words will tear you down, or where insecurities start to come in because we want to please those around us. But in all things, we know that our identity, first and foremost, should be in Christ Jesus. And this will save us a lot of identity crisis. This will save us a lot of existential crisis, because when you find ourselves being truly rooted and identified in Christ, nothing can change us, nothing can shake us, because we know where we stand firmly upon. And so for you who feel like you have this identity that you cannot escape from, Christ has a new identity for you. For you who doesn't know who you are, Christ has an identity for you. And I pray that you may find out what he calls you and how he loves you and how he values you. That way, when the crowds come and ask you who you are, you can confidently answer them and tell them that I am a child of God. So this is what he says about you by Unspoken. Thank you for tuning into Motif Mosaic.
You had a light till somebody stole it. The words that they said cut you like a knife. They called you a name, you started to own it. You hear the echoes in the dead of night. Tired of the cheap shots coming at you nonstop, leaving marks on your heart like a tattoo. Drowning on the inside, reaching for a lifeline. Let these be the words that you hold on to. You are loved.
To Motif Mosaic.